always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and thanks so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my good friend, my brother in Christ, my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How you doing, Terry?
Saved and on my way to heaven, buddy. All the rest of this is just loose change.
Well, it may be, but let me tell you something. I'm gonna start this off really quick. This may be the last show we ever have. Okay, this may be the last show that we ever have. Things are happening extremely quickly. If you guys will stick with us today, I'm not trying to scare the daylights out of you. I'm trying to give you a warning. I'm trying to give you a heads up that things are coming to a head very, very quickly. The Bible is playing out right before our very eyes. I'm looking at Isaiah 17. I am looking at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. I am looking at Matthew chapter 24, and I am looking at the book of Revelation. All of it, every single bit of it is in play right now. Now, we're going to go through some news, okay? I'm going to throw some news out there for you that the world is talking about, something that you're going to see on the mainstream media. We're going to go through that really quick because we are a newscast, and we have to keep up with what's going on in the world. But after we get done with that trivial stuff, it may seem major to the world. It may seem really major to the world. As a matter of fact, the mainstream media is all full of it. This is just really awesome stuff that's going on. It is so trivial that if I didn't have to mention it, I wouldn't mention it at all. Because things are going on right now where it does matter. And I'm talking about in Israel. Remember, we've been warning you guys that the Gog and Magog war would come from the north, south, east, and west. And today, I'm going to show you for the first time that that war is about to occur from the north, south, east, and west. It is being confirmed by too many sources. It's some scary stuff, but for us, for Christians, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, this is extremely exciting stuff. Because I see the rapture coming very, very, very quickly. We're looking for that last individual to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When that last person says, in Jesus' name, we're going to meet him and every other Christian living and dead in the air with Jesus Christ. And then I feel for this earth because it's going to be 7 years of the worst time. Well, it's never going to be matched again, Terry. It's never going to be matched again, what is coming. So let's get the trivial stuff out of the way, okay? Let's go ahead and get the trivial stuff out of the way, and then we'll move on. First thing we're going to talk about, remember, French President Macron went to China. China has become a huge player in this. Okay, well, let's kind of revisit that one very, very quickly. Again, Macron in China.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail at French President Emmanuel Macron's visit to Beijing, where he sought to enjoin President Xi Jinping to play a more constructive role to bring the war in Ukraine to an end. President Macron told the Chinese leader that he was counting on him to bring Russia to its senses. But does President Xi have that capacity, and would he be willing to try and bring Russia and Ukraine to the negotiating table? Ian Williams is a former Beijing correspondent for ITN's Channel 4 News in the UK.
Clearly, China has an awful lot of influence over Russia. Whether it chooses to exercise that influence is another matter. And I think there's a lot of wishful thinking in Washington, but even more so in European capitals, that somehow China can be persuaded to play a more constructive role, as Macron put it today, that he can perhaps persuade Xi to see reason and to put pressure on Putin in Moscow. And yes, China could, if it chose to, play a critical role, but I don't see any sign of it wanting to, because it's too much in its own interests to support Putin.
The Russians dismissed President Macron's overtures, saying there are no prospects for a peaceful settlement in the conflict. Chinese and French officials say the talks in Beijing were frank and friendly. I'm Simon Marks.
They were frank and friendly, but they also meant absolutely nothing, because China's not going to intervene in the Ukraine unless they just say Ukraine surrender. That's the only way that they're going to be involved in it whatsoever. Okay. So for those of you getting excited about China jumping in, they're not going to. I don't see it. And we've been pretty much right on this subject all the way through. I want to continue to go on here, and we're going to talk about China and how it is practicing different things there in Taiwan. So let's listen to what's happening with the Taiwan situation.
China military simulated precision strikes against Taiwan in another day of drills around the island, with the island's defense ministry reporting multiple Air Force sorties and that it was monitoring China's missile forces.
China, which claims democratically governed Taiwan as its own territory, began 3 days of military exercises around the island on Saturday, the day after Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen returned from a brief visit to the United States. Harry Michaels reporting.
And again, I said it a couple of shows ago, the United States of America made a serious mistake. Representative McCarthy made a serious mistake in dealing with Taiwan president. Shouldn't have happened. There's no whenever you're digging a hole and you want to get out of it, the first thing you need to do is stop digging. And unfortunately, that's all that the United States does anymore, is we just keep digging in the bad situations. We'll go ahead and continue this thing with China, because it is getting worse and worse. China is, they've got a lot of ships, a lot of aircraft that are going toward China. These are test runs. It's all they are. I want you to understand this. This is test runs. They know exactly what they've got. They know what they want to do. What they're doing is they're practicing. They're sending these ships and these planes, not because they're ready to strike, but to see exactly how Taiwan reacts. And that way, every time they send one of these, they say, okay, Taiwan did that, so in order for us to counter that, we'll do this. Let's test this one. And they keep testing, and they keep testing, and they keep testing, and eventually it's not going to be a test. So listen to this one.
71 Chinese military aircraft crossed the sensitive median line of the Taiwan Strait on Saturday as China began drills around Taiwan in anger at President Tsai Ing-wen's meeting with the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives.
The three-day drills, announced the day after Tsai returned from the United States, had been widely expected after Beijing condemned her Wednesday meeting with Speaker Kevin McCarthy in Los Angeles. Guy Davis reporting.
And I've got one last one for you on this. Just listen to this one.
China has carried out the mock sealing off of Taiwan for 3 days of drills using an aircraft carrier to simulate launch jets towards the island. The drills follow the return of the island's President Tsai Ing-wen from political meetings in the U.S. Beijing says the drills are a stern warning against Taiwanese separatism. Richard Kimber reports from Hong Kong.
Taiwan's defense ministry says it's tracking dozens of Chinese aircraft and warships around the island, including more than 30 on Sunday that crossed its de facto border with China, known as the median line in the Taiwan Strait. The ministry is urging the international community to pressure China to stop the drills. China says the action represents a stern warning against Taiwanese separatist forces' collusion with foreign elements. It follows meetings in the U.S. between Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen and U.S. lawmakers, including House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Beijing has condemned those meetings as a violation of its sovereignty. It claims the self-governed island of Taiwan as its territory and has vowed to reunify it with the Chinese mainland.
Okay, and just to let you know, we've got some printed reports here too. First of all, the Chinese army has now tightened a blockade drill around Taiwan. This is reported today. So the first thing that they intend to do, according to the reports that I'm getting, is blockade the island of Taiwan, cut it off from the world. And this would be basically a test of President Biden. How are you going to react? And here's my prediction. President Biden's going to scream, and he's going to holler, and he's going to go to the United Nations, where, by the way, China has a veto vote. He's going to go there. He's going to do everything that he possibly can to make this a bad situation, and China is going to ignore him. Terry, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, no, he'd be like a yapping dog that's out in another yard behind a fence. Doesn't mean a thing. Yeah. But I will say this. In defense of McCarthy, and you know we've talked about it, I believe he did the right thing. And if we ever have time, we can talk about it. But anyway, I just wanted to put...
Well, I would like to know how in the world did you think he did the right thing? How do you justify him doing the right thing? Because I see nothing but a poke in China's eye, because the United States, he knows, just like you and I know, the United States is not going to do anything. So all he's doing, all he's done, is he's brought the United States to a place of embarrassment, because the United States of America is not going to do anything, right?
Okay. The reason I'm in support of McCarthy, you've just answered my question. You spent about 30 seconds explaining to me why I was wrong and why he was wrong without ever giving me an opportunity
to
say
anything. Go for it.
No, 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 no. Well, I'm making a point here. Please allow me to be literate and so forth. Here's the deal. We're in America. We're supposed to have a freedom of speech. We're not supposed to be kowtowing to anyone, to anyone. I don't care who they are. I got news for you. If the Chinese invade America and they've got literally hundreds, it's been reported, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young military-age males, Chinese, coming across the border here in Texas. Oh, that's just a mistake. That doesn't mean, I got news for you. They're arming up. They're getting ready. And I got news for you. There are a whole bunch of Americans that are ready to go to war. Okay.
Well, there's got a whole bunch of Americans that'll be dead too. But anyway, here's the deal. What you just said makes absolutely no difference. You can say anything you want to in the United States. That's freedom of speech. However, he went beyond that. He wasn't just talking. He met with the Taiwanese president, and China said, don't do it, because Taiwan belongs to us, and you're putting them on the same level as us, and we won't put up with that. The United States did it. China said, we will retaliate. They are beginning to retaliate. The United States is not going to do a thing. The United States is not going to do a thing. If you really want China to go to war with us, Terry, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I'm not talking about the government, is it? You come into my house, buddy, and I'm not going to welcome you if you just come in.
No, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. But that's apples to oranges. It's not even a comparison.
No, it's not. Okay. Look at you. Look at you. You're defending China.
No, I'm not defending China.
Hold on.
We're getting way off of course here. We have a very huge, and I mean a huge, disagreement that is not going to be settled on this radio show. I think that McCarthy did the wrong thing. You're defending him. That's fine. We have a difference of opinion. We both are able to express our opinion. Let's see who turns out to be right on this. Okay? Yeah. But anyway, let's move on from that. And the way we're going to do it is I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Okay, that's the way we're going to do it. We're going to give you 2 minutes, and then after that, because of all the discussion we had, we're probably going to have to wipe out some news reports I had to give and move on directly into Israel, which is fine with me. But anyway, here we go. We got 2 minutes with Terry, and they start right now.
Welcome to The Last Christian Call, folks. Entering the battle, part two. The first duty of each Christian is to begin witnessing for Jesus as God leads you, which you shall refine throughout your Christian life. Your personal testimony will expand as you follow the Lord. Your personal testimony is extremely valuable and should never be evaluated in comparison to others. A most powerful testimony was given by a young lady at a church prayer meeting. She revealed that having been asked to tell folks about being saved by Jesus, that she became inhibited and deeply troubled as the day of witnessing for the Lord concerning her personal salvation experience approached, that she had nothing to talk about because she was a brand new Christian. Thus, making her believe her own witness seemed so terribly insignificant. In tears, the day before she was to give her testimony before the church, she sought the Lord for help on what to say. Going through the Bible, she found many wondrous miracles Jesus performed. The more she read, the more intimidated she became. As the Lord ministered to her and she continued to read, she came to the realization that it was her own feelings that conveyed Jesus' life so wonderfully, for he himself testified he had not come for the righteous, but that sinners might be saved. And the weight of guilt upon her lifted as she rejoiced that she was totally unworthy to be saved, yet totally forgiven, which is exactly the person Jesus was searching for. As she began to calm down and the fear of speaking in front of people began to lift, she realized the grace of peace that was beginning to envelop her being. She was going to live forever with Jesus, and all of the temporary things of this life began to fade away. Yes, she was totally unworthy. She was without question a totally unimportant person, a nobody, insignificant, unknown sinner. The deeper her understanding reached, the more in love she became with Jesus.
Okay, Terry, I got to cut you off right there. Got to cut you off, and then we'll come back in the second half of the show today, and Terry will be able to finish that off. As I predicted, because of time, we're going to have to kind of move on, so I'm not going to get into a few things that, as I told you at the top of the show, it's stuff that the world is talking about. It's things that they're real concerned about, but stuff that really doesn't matter, like Biden going to Ireland or a prisoner exchange between the Ukraine and Russia, or a medical strike, believe it or not, a medical strike in the UK. Who gets hurt by that? Only the patients, okay? They're wanting huge increases in salaries for doctors. We're also not going to talk about the stuff that's happening in Iran with the surveillance cameras, okay? Mm-hmm. But instead, we're going to start talking about the United States, first of all, the two-state solution that... it's been talked about, Terry, for years and years and years, how the United States believes still in putting together this two-state solution with the Israelis and the Palestinians, how that's going to solve everything, even though the Palestinians have turned down everything peaceful, any kind of resolution. They've been turning it down since even before Israel became a country. And, they always talk about, they talk a big game, but they turn everything down, even if it is something that they would really like to do. So anyway, let's talk about that one first and play this real quick.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken continued to reaffirm the U.S. commitment to the two-state solution between Israel and Palestine.
In a press release, Blinken spokesperson Vedant Patel said the conversation between Blinken and the UAE minister included discussion over regional issues with an emphasis on peace in Yemen. Secretary Blinken urged calm during the holiday season across the region and emphasized the urgency of de-escalating tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. Liam Williams reporting.
Okay, first of all, what's your impression of that, dear? The two-state solution?
I'm just totally against it. That's enough for that. Totally against it.
Yeah, well, for those that don't understand... that may say, well, the Palestinians deserve a state. Okay, well, the United Nations tried to give them a state, even when they tried to do that at the same time that Israel became a country. But here's the sticking point: Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It has been the capital of Israel for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Jerusalem is not mentioned in the Quran even one time. Not once. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, look it up. And
that's right.
So that's the sticking point. Okay. And Israel has reunited Jerusalem, but they've also made concessions as far as the Temple Mount goes, where Israelis have more restrictions about the Temple Mount than any Muslim would ever have. You, as a Muslim, you can go to the Temple Mount and pray every day and every night. That's fine. But if a Jew does it, they can be put in jail, or at least kicked off. But yes, put in jail, they can. So it's really unfair. And the thing is that that is not going to be resolved. It's just not. But it is going to be a flashpoint coming up in the very, very near future. I was listening to Amir Tesfaye the other night, last night actually. He had, for the first time, Terry, first time, and I told you about this before we went on the air, I heard fear in his voice, and he's not even in Israel. I heard emotion in his voice. His voice was cracking as he was talking about the fact that there were missiles being launched at Israel from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Now, these weren't big attacks, okay? Mm-hmm. These were not big attacks, but they were attacks to see how Israel would react. You heard me earlier in the show talking about how China was poking at Taiwan to see how they would react to different things. That is exactly what these Iranian proxies are doing with Israel right now, today, as we speak. This is going on. Now, here is the plan. And we'll get into this a lot more in the second half of the show. So, you know, if there was one time that I really urge you guys to find us for the second half of the show, this is it. Go to www.lastchristian.net. I'm going to repeat that again, www.lastchristian.net. Get the whole thing. You're going to want to know this because you're going to see that we are fast approaching the Gog and Magog War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. We are fast approaching the destruction of Damascus in Isaiah 17:1. We are fast approaching many things coming true from Matthew chapter 24. Yes. Okay? Amen. We are about to see the rapture of the church. We are about to discover that last Christian. In my opinion, I'm not a prophet. I'm just going by what I see on the world stage and what I see happening in Israel, when that's where things count, Israel. The United States doesn't count. The United States is not in the Bible. Okay, you can try to find it. You can make it up. You can try to come up with all these weird ways that America is mentioned. The fact is, America's not mentioned in the Bible for a reason. My opinion has greatly changed on that now. Greatly changed. I believe America's going to be on the wrong side. That is my personal opinion. I believe that the United States of America is going to be on the wrong side. And that's the reason they're not in the Bible. Okay? I believe that the countries of the world are coming together right now against Israel. And I can prove that through news reporting. You can look it up for yourself. Look at any newspaper you want to, and you're going to find it. But here was the chilling point. And I'll make this again in the second half of the show as we get more into it. But this is a chilling point that Amir was talking about. They now have 250,000 rockets pointed at every inch of Israel. And they are now, these are not the countries. For the first time, he made this clear. These are not the countries. These are the proxy fighters of Iran that have these missiles. They are the ones that are in control. And they have leaked their plan. Okay? This is the scary part. They have leaked their plan that they are all going to organize and begin to fire these missiles simultaneously from the north, south, east, and west. And here's the last thing that he reported. And again, if you haven't ever listened to Amir, I really highly suggest you do it. Go to the YouTube channel, Behold Israel. Go to his Telegram account. He's always talking about that. Behold Israel. Okay? Look it up and you will see these reports. But here's the scary thing. When they launch these missiles, they say that the Iron Dome that Israel has, they know it exists. They know that it's capable of taking down their missiles. They know that. But they also know that there is a limit to the amount of defense that the Iron Dome has. They have calculated it, and they say that Israel's Iron Dome will be out of ammunition in 2 hours. And once they are completely out, then the massive barrage will begin. Now that is some scary stuff. Now, we know that they're not going to be successful. And we know that God himself is the one that steps into this. So everything is coming together. It's coming together very, very quickly. And I've got a ton of reports here, and we're going to go through them in the second half of the show. Terry, I want to get your comments on what you just heard from me, because we didn't talk about that before we went on the air.
Sure. Yeah, my mind is flooded, of course, with all of the different turns and twists that are taking place. The fact is that Jerusalem, that the Israelis gave, they took in the Six-Day War, they took control of the Mount, and they turned around after they'd taken control of it and gave it back to the Arabs. They won't acknowledge that. They say, oh, it's ours now, they gave it to us, and they're calling the shots. It's terrible. That's how unscrupulous these people really are.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it's all beginning to come to a head now.
Yeah.
They have spent years in preparation for this. Yeah. They have been prepared from the beginning to wait Israel out. The head of Iran, I forget what you call him, Ayatollah or whatever. He had earlier predicted that Israel wouldn't last another 25 years. Now he says that Israel wants a fast exit. They're cheering on the protests. A mere reference to protests in the streets by Israelis in his last update. And he said that some Israelis were now buying into it, that they didn't have a full right to Jerusalem. He said it's insanity. And it is insanity.
Yeah.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. We are now getting down to crunch time. We're now getting down to that moment where I personally believe, I don't know where Terry stands on this, I personally believe that we're getting down to the last days, the very, very last days on this.
Amen.
If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, all you've got to do is say that prayer. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Tell him that you know you were a sinner. Tell him that you know that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose after 3 days, that he's ascended to heaven. He is with the Father, but he is coming back for his church before God unleashes that wrath. So please, please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, please do. Again, if you do not get the entire show, I urge you, go to www.lastchristian.net, www.lastchristian.net. Get the second half of the show. We're going to be talking about things that you're going to want to hear. For those of you leaving us, hopefully we have a show. Can't promise one. For everybody else, we'll be right after the break.
Attention podcasters, influencers, media personalities, content creators, and aspiring or existing radio personalities. KRRB Revelation Radio now offers the opportunity to broadcast or syndicate both new or existing shows to all 50 states and more than 160 countries around the world. And if you currently operate a radio station, we offer you the opportunity to add several popular shows in virtually every genre for broadcast on your station. Choose programming from 30 minutes to 2 hours, with each internationally syndicated show adding quality content sure to grow your listening audience. We even have excellent optional services to help you promote your show or station. These services are not only designed for audio use on the radio, but also include tools for use on social media, even YouTube. For more information, visit www.revelationradio.net or email the Ustreamit LLC Broadcast Network at office@ustreamit.net today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, before we go on, really quick, I want to let you know about another thing that Amir said last night.
Yeah.
And that was, he addressed the rapture. Now, Amir believes in the pre-trib, no doubt about it, as do both of us. But he said it was time for all Christians to take a break and to stop trying to battle each other, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever. But instead, Israel was in trouble. That this is a time where Israel is in serious trouble. He is very worried about what is happening there. He said, you know, if you're a Christian, your belief on the rapture, you know, it's going to play out. It's going to play out. Let's concentrate on Israel, on what is needed there. So, in other words, pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem.
Sure.
That's what we need to do. So before we go on, because I'm going to drop a bunch of stuff on you here, okay?
Before
we go on, Terry, please say a prayer for Israel, for their security, peace in Jerusalem, and the expectations. We all have them. We all have them.
Sure. But sure.
I'll leave it to you, sir.
All right. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We praise you for that, Father. And as we enter the throne of grace boldly, as Paul instructed, Lord, we are not being effrontery or anything. We're coming to you as you have been told Paul to tell us, and just to come directly to you as Jesus even taught. Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for your peace on them. We pray, Lord, for your shalom, Lord, in such a way that whatever is taking place will simply turn them to your word, Lord, all through the Tanakh, the Old Testament, Lord, you prophesied of these days we are now living in. Help them to go into the Tanakh and to see that, and to help to understand that your word is not only current, your word is forever. And you've never been wrong, and you said you would deliver them, Lord. You even gave a time for them to go and hide. And so there's so much encouragement in that for them, Lord. Regardless of whatever happens when the rapture takes place, Lord, you are going to be taking over the wheel when rapture takes place, and you are going to protect them when Satan himself goes after them to attack them, and you're going to protect them and keep them until you return to deliver them completely. We thank you for the privilege and the honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. One thing I've got to play here, which has, it does deal with Israel. It does, but it's not a direct hit, okay? Mm-hmm. Even though it's very much mentioned in all of this. So I'm going to play a very quick clip. It's the last pre-recorded clip that we're gonna listen to today. Anyway, here we go.
U.S. national security agencies are reviewing how they share their most sensitive secrets inside the U.S. government and dealing with a diplomatic fallout from the release of dozens of confidential documents, three U.S. officials said.
Investigators are working to determine what person or group might have had the ability and motivation to release the intelligence reports, said one of the officials. The leaks could be the most damaging release of U.S. government information since the 2013 publication of thousands of documents on WikiLeaks. Haley White reporting.
Okay, so I saw that report. I've seen it for a couple of days, and I kept looking at it and going, okay, well, what is it about? I mean, you know, they talk about these leaks. They're supposed to be really serious and all that, but nobody would ever really say what it was, you know. So anyone found it. These documents, there's a wide range of topics. Okay, the Ukraine, which deals about Ukraine airstrikes, then the country's air defense vulnerabilities, and even the size of some of the Ukrainian military units. There is the Wagner Group, which is descriptions of a number of outreach efforts by the Russian mercenary group, including Turkish contacts, Haitian government officials, and the organization's growing presence in Mali. In the Middle East, there's updates related to Iran's nuclear activities, as well as information about how the United Arab Emirates is in talks with Russia to help build a maintenance center for some of the weapons that that are there. In China, predictions about how China would respond to Ukrainian strikes inside of Russia, along with details about British plans in the Indo-Pacific region. In North Korea, details about missile tests by Pyongyang and an assessment that a February parade likely oversold the ICBM threat to the United States. In South America, information about Brazilian officials' plan to visit Moscow in April to discuss a Ukraine mediation scheme. In Africa, an assessment that France is likely to struggle to achieve security goals in the West and Central Africa, and more. So now, these are leaks that came out of the CIA. These are leaks that came out of the intelligence of the United States of America, and they are not sure if it was an American that did this. And here comes the Russian misinformation thing again. They're even saying that, but they are saying that a lot of the information that is provided is in fact true. So what are your interpretations of this, Terry? Whether it's a U.S. leak or somebody else, the information is real. It is leaked. It is military intelligence. And by the way, it's still out there online because they don't know how to take it down. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, but you cannot trust anything anymore until it's happening. The reason we can trust Amir is because he's not talking about last year or next week. He's coming on daily, and he's saying, this is what's going on right now, and you can check it out. We don't know if the information that has been released, that's been leaked, we don't know who it's damaging to. There's just been way too much of this in the last 10 years or so that we cannot understand. We don't trust anybody anymore. We've got to see what's going on. And so we have to, you know, we have to find out. There's a whole bag of that WikiLeaks stuff that is absolutely accurate, true, and on target. And what's his name is in jail because of it.
Yeah. That's WikiLeaks, and that's all past history.
No,
what we're talking about is something that just happened, and I've got more reports
yeah.
here, Terry. Hold on, I got more reports
Go right ahead.
Okay,
go right ahead.
We got Australia says this is extremely serious. Okay, in the Ukraine, you've got cities that are being pounded. It says the U.S. is scrambling to find the source of the leaked documents because they told people how to hit in the Ukraine, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking, they found out where the weaknesses are by the stuff that's been leaked, and the Russians are using that information right now to hit those weak spots. So, you know, that's a serious development. South Korea is in it too. Hold on, I'm struggling to turn pages here, so go ahead.
Sure
comment. Well,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Listen, spins, you know, that you don't know who's spinning what. That's the problem.
Well, these are governments, you know, these are actual governments that are they're saying they're scared.
That makes it worse.
Yeah.
That makes it worse.
Okay, this
you
is
don't know what they're saying. You
this
know,
is a South again. Korean. This is a South Korean report. Okay, the president's office said that it will hold necessary discussions with the United States following a U.S. report accusing the Central Intelligence Agency of intercepting South Korean government communications regarding aid to the Ukraine in its war with Russia. Okay, so. As these governments are finding out about things that the United States is doing that the United States didn't tell them that they're doing, and they're not happy about it, and it's causing a strain, okay? So, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Okay, now it's time to start to get into Israel. But before we do that, I'm going to give Terry 2 minutes 2 minutes, okay. Terry, and then it's going to be Israel to the end of the show. Okay, so so Terry, you are up. 2 minutes with Terry starts right now.
As she began to calm down and the fear of speaking in front of people began to lift, she realized the grace of peace that was beginning to envelop her being. She was going to live forever with Jesus, and all of the temporary things of this life began to fade away. Yes, she was totally unworthy. She was, without question, a totally unimportant person, a nobody, insignificant, unknown sinner. The deeper her understanding reached, the more in love she became with Jesus, because he first loved her. He had sought her as the good shepherd had left the flock in the wilderness to go and find the sheep that had gone astray. Her testimony takes us back to the testimony of the man after God's own heart, David, who slew Goliath. David was rebuked for declaring he could slay Goliath. We read, "Now Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" Eliab's challenge sounds right, leaving what seems to be unguarded sheep in the wilderness, until we hear the whole counsel of God as Jesus defends David in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. "What man of you, having 100 sheep," Jesus says, "if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven," Jesus says, "there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." That's why we don't have to be afraid with all of these things that are happening. God told us these things from the beginning. He told us the end. And you can go through and do your own study and discover that God has told us the end from the beginning. You don't need to worry about it, because Jesus is coming. He's going to deliver everyone who believes in him out of this evil world. He's going to deliver us. And when he does, we're going to be out and completely away from all of it. You can look at Revelation chapter 3. Look to the church of Philadelphia. They thought they were poor, but God said, "No, you're not poor. You're rich because you believe in me. And because you believe in me, I'm going to deliver you out of this world. And I'm going to do it before all of these things begin to happen." You can take this to the bank. Wait a minute, folks. I apologize. Don't take it to any bank. Banks have lost their luster. You take this to Jesus, and you ask him, say, "Lord, show me in your book." And I say, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus."
Amen. And I think he's coming pretty quick. Okay. Now, as I said, we're going to get into Israel, and we're going to get it. I've got a ton of reports here, so I'm going to have to kind of breeze through these as we go along. Yep. I'm going to start out with a good one first, okay? That over 1,000 Jews visited the Temple Mount over the Passover. Now, that sounds really, really good, but they have actually now closed the Temple Mount off from Jews continuing to visit for the last 10 days of Ramadan. This is something that there's a lot of people in Israel that are not happy about this. But the Muslims can continue to go to the Temple Mount, but Jews cannot until Ramadan has concluded. Okay, that is coming out of Israel. Now I've got a report here from it's an organization. which is actually not in favor of Israel. I'm not even going to mention the paper's name. I started to, but I'm not going to. Anyway, here's how it starts off. In just 3 months, Israel's government of national lunacy has eroded its international standing, its domestic coherence, and its national security. And genocidal enemies are watching. Okay, so again, just a quick report. It's an editorial, actually, that was given. And what they're saying is that Israel's lost its mind, it's lost its footing, and it's time for those that oppose Israel to stand up and do something about it. The Turkish president last week announced that all of the Islamic countries should come together in mm-hmm. dealing with Israel. Now he did contact Israel's president over the weekend mm-hmm. to offer his condolences for three Jewish citizens that were gunned down. It was two sisters and a mother that were killed while they were driving in their car. And he issued condolences to them. He didn't mention the fact that, again, he had told all the Islamic countries they needed to come together against Israel. He didn't mention that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Iran has unveiled a new suicide attack drone. And now this has a distance of 280 miles. So I went in and I calculated, and if anybody can do this, you can go in and you can calculate the distance between Damascus and Jerusalem. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to sound crazy, but look it up for yourself. Okay? Look this up for yourself. If you were to travel it like a drone would, okay, like an attack drone, straight line, okay? If you were to do that, then the distance is 136 miles. Now remember, this drone can travel 280 miles. So that's very much within their reach. Now, if you were to get in a car and drive Jerusalem to Damascus, it's 1,849 miles. That's quite a difference, okay? But that's because of the way that the roads go. That's because of all of the different checkpoints that you have to go to and all that stuff. But drones don't have to do that. They fly direct. So now what Iran is saying is we got a brand new drone here that is capable of reaching Israel from 280 miles. You can basically circle Israel, put that drone in anybody's hands. And remember, all these proxies are the ones that have the missiles. Okay, they're the ones. It's not the countries themselves. They're not all that interested in attacking because every time they do, they lose. But all of these militia groups, like Hamas and that crowd, they're ready. Okay, they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Now then, I don't know this guy. He's the Strategic Affairs Minister, a former Israeli ambassador to the United States. His name is Ron Dermer. Have you ever heard of him, Terry?
No.
I haven't either. Anyway, he was interviewed on CNN, okay? And he said that extremists had actually planned to attack Jews on the Temple Mount, and that's the reason that they were closing down the access there. He said, we do not want to go in there. Fortunately, today, we did not have to go in because the people who went in there did not go there. A lot of the stuff that he's saying is like he's talking sideways or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was basically saying that they're shutting down the access to the Temple Mount because they heard that extremists, Iranian and Muslim extremists, with their holy war, were set to attack Jews. Now, whether or not that's true or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, you have rockets being fired from Syria. Now, this is new. Syria hasn't hasn't really been in this mix as far as, and they only fired three, okay? They only fired three missiles. But again, this is to test response times. The Israelis are very much aware of this, how, you know, what Israel does in response to these missiles being fired from Lebanon, from Syria, from the West Bank. They're expecting from Turkey, believe it or not. So, you know, there's a whole lot going on there. Now, Ben-Gurion, I'm not really sure how to pronounce his name.
How do you spell it?
G-V-I-R. G-V-I-R.
Giver. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Anyway, he also said that it was a surrender by Jews to not be able to go to the Temple Mount. He was against it. He's a high-ranking official in Israel. Then we've got Iran kickstarting a multi-front Middle East campaign. So Iran is the one that is planning all of these attacks. Okay, they're not attacking Israel themselves. They're using all the proxies that they put in place and using all of the military armaments that they have been transiting through Damascus to arm all these people, but they are calling the shots. Okay, so they're telling them they're telling them to get ready, basically. Okay, is what they're saying. Got more on that coming. Trust me. There is one report here says Syria is playing a dangerous game, that the rocket fire on Israel is a major escalation, and of course, Syria is right there. That's a border. You know, they have a border with Israel. You've got Iran has troops there. Russia has troops there. The United States has troops there. Turkey has troops there. Whatever is left of the Syrian army, of course, they're there. And then all the proxies, all of Iran's proxies, the terrorist organizations, they are armed to the teeth, and they are in Syria, and they are ready to go. I'm only about halfway through these, by the way. Here's a report that really disturbed me, and I want to get your comment on that, Terry. Keep in mind, we got about 4.5 minutes left, okay? But this is a report from Al Jazeera, okay? So that kind of tells you what to think, right? Under Netanyahu, violence against Christians is being normalized. Now, I'm going to let you comment on that, and I'm going to dig through this report a little bit, and I'm going to show you why they're right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, not according to Netanyahu. He's certainly been standing by Christians himself, and so I'm interested very much to listen to what you have to put into the mix.
This is an extremely long report. Okay, and and you didn't give me enough time to read it. Anyway, this is an extremely long report. So I'm going to say maybe we're going to have a show Thursday, and I'm going to save this because it needs to be read, and it needs to be read in detail. These are where you actually have troops that see things that are going on, and they are choosing not to respond to attacks on Christians, and these are Christian reports that are coming out, the Christians that are being interviewed about it. So it is something that's real, okay? I don't know how severe it is. I know that Prime Minister Netanyahu is a friend of America. I know that he's not going to order something to go against Christians. He's not going to do that. Yeah. But he can turn a blind eye to it. And unfortunately, I think that's what he's done in some extent here.
We have to realize it's advantageous to Israel if Christians are attacked from their perception. Let me finish this. From their perceptions, it's advantageous because it will draw America in to help. However, the mistake they're making, they have no idea how far away the government of the United States is from Christianity. You know, that hearing about Christians dying to the government of America is good news. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And I got
that's my opinion.
That's okay. That's okay. I got to cut you off though, because we got to get to some of this stuff here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jordan has warned Israel of catastrophic consequences if the Al-Aqsa Mosque is stormed again. So here you have again. Remember, they're trying to get all these countries to come together to go against Israel. So there's a report saying that Jordan is ready to do that. Then you've got the Iran army chief saying that Israel is too small to pose any threat to them. The quoting here, it says the Zionist regime, which is drowning and whose signs of collapse have become clearer than ever, is too small to be considered a threat to the Islamic Republic of Iran. So Iran is now ready to go. Then you have Iran urging the formation of a united Muslim front against Israel. And again, these are reports. I'm not even getting into the meat of the reports.
Sure.
We'll get to that on Thursday if we still have one. We got the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has reversed his decision completely now. He's leaving the defense minister in place. He said they're setting aside their disagreements. He's going on because of the serious threats that are going on. But here's the big one I want to close it with. Iranian defense ministry says that Israel's collapse to happen soon. In other words, they are now preparing for that ring of fire. They are ready to unleash on Israel. It could happen literally at any time. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, if you don't realize it by now, things are happening very, very quickly. Your time is running out. Time is short for all of us. We hope to meet you in the air, but you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please go to www.lastchristian.net. Support us in any way you can. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Keep it going. People, if we have a Thursday, if we have another show, we'll be back.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for the Last Christian Podcast. Now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.